All right, guys, call to order, Highlight Rural Fire District. Reminder to the public that meetings are being recorded. Is there any public comment on any matters not listed in our agenda? None? Cool. Anything need to be pulled from our consent agenda, or do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken? Sorry. Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Okay, audit presentation. We're ready for you.
Mark, I guess you're up first.
Okay, I'll go first. So, Mark, you have, do they have these?
They do.
Wonderful.
Well, they see them, yeah.
Mark, you read them, wonderful. Okay.
Breathtaking reading, absolutely riveting.
Isn't it? Thank you.
Nice job.
I know it's not, I can appreciate that. Okay, so number of years we've done your audit now, this is the fourth, I believe, first one on this next contract. We met with Pinion, so Bill knows from Pinion here, and Cheryl, probably now a couple weeks ago, to go over the audit, go over the findings and all the results. Pretty decent discussion, I felt like. We had a couple findings, so it was helpful to talk through those. We'll talk to them here, but I think it's helpful to know that you're not, you know, taking the first swing at them, but we kind of talked through that, and I think all came to a pretty good consensus on at least some options for ways to proceed there. So we have two audit reports in your packet that you got there. The first one's our audit opinion, that is clean, which means unmodified in accounting language, which just means that based on the audit that we performed, we believe your financial statements as presented there are materially correct. The second one is at the very, very back of the financials, and that's our report on internal control and compliance. So we test compliance with applicable laws and regulations. If we find anything that's out of compliance, we report it there. It's not the point of the audit, but that's something that would happen. And then we also are reporting on internal controls. So again, not the point of the audit, but in doing the audit, we can't help but trip over some internal control issues. If we do, we will report them there. So we have one finding this year that we consider a material weakness. And this whole work, what I'm talking about here, discusses it. So I'm trying to think of the easiest way to break it down. We did the same exact thing in our meeting here, but or the meeting we did previously. But as a quasi-governmental entity, you report under governmental accounting standards, which means that the reports there have essentially two different bases of accounting financials, or two separate sets of financials. So you have an entity-wide financial statement, and that is everything in the district. So it reports your capital assets as assets, reports all of your geo bond debt, the full balance, like a whole full accrual picture. You also present fund financial statements, and those are on what's called a current financial resource model, so those are more cash basis, you know, ish, which means you don't report capital assets there. You don't report your full debt balance. You're reporting an expense or an expenditure when you buy an asset, or an expenditure when you pay a debt payment. So they look very different. They're meant to report very, very different things, which makes it incredibly complicated from an accounting standpoint. Like, you're not looking at it just like a small business that's just cash in, cash out. You're not looking at financial reporting like you would for a nonprofit. It's just considerably more complicated. So, from the transactional accounting standpoint, like, things that are supposed to get paid are getting paid. All of those things are happening. It looks like a big scary, like, material weakness over financial reporting sounds, you know, the utmost level. All of the transactional things were happening appropriately. If that was what we had found, that'd be a whole different discussion. It's trying to figure out a way then, really trying to discuss the best way for Pinion and the district to be able to provide both your fund financial statement, which is really how you run on a regular basis. I mean, that's what you're looking at, that's your current financial resource model, that's what you're managing. How to present both that and your full accrual statements, which are needed from a GAAP presentation once a year, in the same accounting software, which, you know, is really hard. That's not what it's meant to do. It's meant to present one. So that's what we really talked about, is what is the best way? Because there's all sorts of different ways to do that. It worked previously, so I mean, like, this was probably the sticky point this year, but it has worked in the past, and so just trying to find a way to do that. It doesn't always work. It didn't work this year, you know, that some things maybe didn't get rolled up fully, and then they didn't quite roll, and that's more accounting specific, but that was really the issue, is just trying to figure out how best to track that and then be able to report that back out in terms of both bases of accounting that are needed for your presentation. So.
Not the best.
The other thing we have, we also have a governance letter there that is outside of the audits and above audit administration items. So if we had any disagreements with management, those would be presented there, difficulties performing the audit, not able to get information. None of that is the case. Even with like sort of some bumps in the road this year, your team is super proactive, very invested, and this you can't handle the audit forward. Like your group has to be invested in that to make that happen, and they very much are. The governance letter has a couple recommendations in it that both relate to what we're talking about here. It's just much more granular in terms of like maybe where the breakdown was. So that's probably the reading if you're like, what is happening here? Those were the things I would read that say, you know, capital assets and debt and how those get adjusted. But those are not new or separate. They just are new, but they're not separate from the material weakness. They're just more detailed recommendations on maybe how we fix this.
So a possible plan to go forward so we don't have the same issue next year?
Yeah, for sure.
What's staff think about that?
That was discussed, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys know what to do?
That's where Bill steps in.
So on the interim reporting, behind the scenes, we're using a couple of different funds, and there's really no reason to do that on the interim because we're presenting one fund to you, and that's how you budget. So it's really all about the year end, and there is a conversion worksheet that was shortcutted this year. Shortcuts don't always end well. So we're gonna bring that back in so then we can convert essentially the cash basis of the county to the fund and accrual basis of county. So that's kind of the big one. I think the formal response is pretty esoteric, like management has implemented recommendations to address the funding. Yeah.
So when you mentioned short-circuiting, so the reason that occurred then, because you mentioned that previously we've been kind of meeting those goals, right? And so what's the cause and effect relationship here?
Yeah, entirely. So it's a trail which takes the balances and the data from the accounting system into a it's a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to review. So if there was a bump this year that wasn't detected because we didn't have that tool. Mm-hmm. And so we relied on the journal entries that were posted in the prior year. And then Morgan and her firm were very gracious because it created a lot more work on their part.
So moving forward in terms of actual layman's interpretation of implementation to meet those goals is just maintaining that spreadsheet throughout the year then, is that?
It's really an annual tool, but to bring it back.
And oh, so just to bring it back, so
yeah. To have that used and then reviewed, mm-hmm. And that's where it would have been caught.
Okay.
It's in the review because you've got it all right there.
Mm-hmm. And that's something your guys' company does?
Okay. Yep. Okay. So we're responsible for the interim reporting and then closing the books on the year, and then the independent auditors audit. They don't perform the count, they audit the financial statements.
So it's not a pretty straightforward fix then.
Yep. Yeah.
And so in terms of board action, then nothing that needs to occur with regard to board action to make a statement of any sort or action item of any sort, or it just...
Yeah, I just think the notion that we're discussing it, and I think it was very well explained by Morgan, mm-hmm. Asking more questions, and I think that's healthy, that's good governance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'll be sufficient then. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for doing that for us and for figuring out the problem and fixing it going forward. We really appreciate you guys. We appreciate the staff helping them. and that's awesome.
So that's the end of my Cayman Islands fund? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. The start of CIF. My South Seas fund.
Yep. Damn.
Yeah, Brian's not here tonight for some reason.
Yeah. He's distanced himself from me. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Appreciate all your good work.
While I'm here, feedback or questions about the interim reporting, or you get what you need? And...
Well, I think so. The actual day-to-day, I mean, that Cheryl would address that probably better than anybody, the interaction, day-to-day interaction, implementation, logistics, anything like that. You know, she'd have a better feel for that. But in terms of presentation to the board, I mean, from my perspective, I feel as though it's very adequate for us to look at and get an idea of our financial picture, especially the cash flow aspect of it. Yeah. You know, make sure that we're meeting our cash flow projections throughout the year, and what kind of adjustments do we need to consider moving forward into the next fiscal year. I think the data that we have at hand is very sufficient for those needs. After that, it gets a little, some of the stuff that you guys are talking about, that to me, that's pretty esoteric, and I really, I'll readily admit I don't have a complete understanding, or very limited understanding, but, for the management purposes, I feel as though we're getting good information.
Probably my biggest frustration and probably opinions as well is the turnaround of reporting from the county.
Yeah.
And so that delays pretty much everything we do. If you look at when we're reporting to the board, they're looking at old numbers, basically. But I don't know that we have a fix for that.
Yeah, and I guess that would be a limitation. But again, as Cheryl mentioned, I don't know that we have anything that we can do about it. So we do fly a little bit blind with our preliminary budget. And then hopefully, usually it's pretty tight by the time we are faced with making the decision for final budget. Usually we're getting the data that we need right at the very end. And so we are flying a little bit blind as a board in establishing preliminary budget. But that's nothing that you guys, unless you have a connection somewhere with the commissioners in terms of how things are addressed. Yeah, so that, but I think we do, given the situation, I think we're doing the best we can in that regard.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You need a letter here.
You need a letter.
We did okay. We did okay.
Thanks
for having us.
I was just giving you the cliff notes.
Okay.
Slides.
Ah!
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, you guys. All right. Discussion and decision of creating the two division chiefs.
What do you want to know? We talked about it last month fairly extensively. Right, you guys were able to read the job descriptions of both the training division and the maintenance division. I think that pretty much fits the need of the organization at this point in time. Obviously, the purpose there is that both Mac and Prado need a lot more flexibility in their work week, just based on when training occurs, when maintenance needs to occur. And so part of that exempt piece is to give them a little bit of that flexibility. Yeah. Same side of that is as the organization has grown just in the last 4 years since I've been here, 3.5 years I've been here, they've really grown into second line supervisors and managing much more of the operation day to day. And I think that's really where this comes from, is they need to have that flexibility to do that. And of course, we have this continual command problem. And so it helps them be able to cover command. And when Brian and I happen to be out of town together, which we try not to do, we need one of them to kind of run the show for us. And they're both very capable of doing that and have kind of done that in some fashion up to this point for us a few times. They're doing well with that, so this is where we landed.
Yeah. So last week, we talked a little bit about how Most of it has to do with them not being able to go on a call if they want to go on a call because they're at too many hours.
I mean, that's a piece of it, right?
Right?
Yep.
And so one of the things Brian was talking about was, or we asked the question, whether or not any of the paid staff has the oversight of, you know, being able to manage, right? Because if they're managers, then they could all be exempt.
Correct.
So he was going to look into that.
And we got pretty much shut down from legal on the third one.
Okay.
Just so you know. We couldn't piece enough together there to make that one work.
Okay.
And I think, as we grow a little bit more, right, and as we expand recruitment, retention, and training a little bit more, I think that opportunity will come, but we were not able to pull it off. And Brian tried pretty hard to work with legal to get that through.
Okay.
And we were pretty well shut down.
We pushed that to this week. There was a couple of things, correct me if I'm wrong, Ken wanted to know a few things. Something we pushed it for a reason to push it to this week because we brought it up last week with the discussion, or last month, right?
I thought the biggest push was to see if we could get all three, and we would have to go back to legal for that.
Okay.
And work through that. Brian worked through that for a couple of weeks, and everything he tried, every angle we tried, didn't quite make it.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. We talked about, you know, what their raise would be. We talked about all the monies. We've already gone through all that. What else do we have for board discussion?
What else do you want to talk about?
I guess it's part of growth, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we have, and we are obviously incurring, you know, as long as we can find that balance between redefining these two positions and meeting, you know, holes, command, that sort of thing, and then not being in a position where we're still going to be have considerable overtime expenditures. It sounds like there's going to be.
This should cut our overtime significantly, and I think he added out to about $12,000 per position a year in that cost savings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're really tight on it. It makes it very difficult, right? So that 40-hour work week makes it very difficult. I'm pretty hard on them about keeping within that, right? Command stuff, certainly. Big calls within the district, certainly. They can come out for it, and we're willing to pay that. But like our freedom to say, Kratos already worked a full 40, and now it's Friday night and something breaks, and it's something simple that he can come in and fix within an hour or two, and it sits here till Tuesday. You know, that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to give him the freedom to be able to do that.
No, it completely makes sense to me. Me individually, but
and Max all over the board, 7 days a week doing different trainings, right? And that's just really hard to say, well, you normally work Tuesday, but take Tuesday off so you can be here Thursday, and there's something on Saturday, so let's flop this day for that day. And just kind of what it does is just creates a few more holes in the schedule throughout the week that Brian and I end up filling, right? Which is not the end of the world, we're here anyway, but it's just trying to fill those gaps and just make sure that we have that continuation of coverage.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Any other board comment?
Good.
Do I have a motion?
Move to approve the positions as presented by the assistant chief.
Any public comment on the motion? Okay. All those in favor?
Right, we need a second.
I'll
second.
JJ?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Fort Ellis Fire Service Area.
Yeah. So Chief met with Chris Gray, the attorney who Fort Ellis hired to draft the interlocal agreement. He expressed all the thoughts and concerns that you guys had and move those forward for that agreement. They discussed writing the agreement very similar to Ray and Sourdough Interlocal, as previously talked about. He reached out to Susan Swimley to represent us and to review that agreement to make sure that we're not missing anything.
Okay.
And she agreed to do that. And then he also talked to Dan Clark, with the Extension Office for the possibility of holding a joint meeting between Highlight and Fort Ellis to discuss the partnership and discuss concerns, questions, of what that entails and anything that might come up for that. So he said, we can certainly do that. That's something that the board would like to do.
So in terms of timing of events, then will our counsel, Susan, will she have an opportunity to review the document prior to any joint meeting scheduling?
Yes.
And then board will have an opportunity to review prior to?
Prior to a joint meeting?
Prior to joint meeting. That'll be the time.
And I'll make sure Brian gets that.
Yeah. I think it'd be maybe a little bit awkward if we try to have discussion at joint meeting if there's something I think that should be discussed prior to that joint meeting.
I agree. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Have you guys had any more discussion on, you know, his proposal of giving us, what was it, 250, 260? As far as that amount and you guys either hiring more people or how thin that's going to spread you, you know, just before we get crazy into it, like, have you guys talked about the plan of what it's going to take and whether or not that revenue is going to be enough to...
Brian's pretty convinced, the chief's pretty convinced that a quarter time from all of us is enough to manage that district, which I think is pretty close, right? Without actually going through it all, but looking at it, I think we're right there, right? It's gonna be plus or minus in there, but based on their call volume and their workload, a quarter's about right, which is kind of where that dollar figure came up. So it seems like from an overhead standpoint, we should be good. We've had lots of discussions about what response looks like, what command looks like, what kind of that overall command and response stuff looks like. Started to have conversations about not just weekly training, but actual like academy type training, because we have to bring people in for Fort Ellis. And so we've just kind of started in on those discussions. So with that, all those things being discussed, there should be some money in there, hopefully, once this thing starts rolling, is to hope to get another FTE, basically to assist with the training stuff. And then we got to look a little bit at facilities and apparatus. Just saying, like that's starting to get to be, all that's starting to be a burden on just Prado alone. Now, hopefully, we got 2.5 new trucks coming, right? And in a year and a half, we'll have another water tender to replace our old water tender. So our fleet is getting significantly newer. Yeah. So our fleet's going to be, should be pretty good for overall maintenance.
But at least
we need a support truck.
But at least thinking one more full-time.
At least.
That famous last one.
Yeah.
At least. Yeah. So when you mentioned apparatus and people, and facilities, now some of the facilities and apparatus, that component will be outside of the scope of the interlocal agreement in terms of responsibilities associated with Fort Ellis, right?
As far as payment of, say, fixes of apparatus or maintenance costs outside of Prado's hourly work wage, right? Because that's already getting covered. So if it's going to buy parts and pieces, that gets covered by Fort Ellis. If there's a facilities issue, whatever we need to do for that, that gets covered by Fort Ellis. Right. We're not taking that on at all.
Right. And that'll be explicit in the agreement then, that those types of, might be something to consider.
And they're gonna be keeping a full-time board as well.
14.5.
Correct.
Right? So it's gonna kind of be a raised sourdough where we have joint meetings maybe?
I think that's the goal.
Okay.
Is that we have joint meetings so the chief's not running in all directions and the boards don't get.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the interlocal agreement probably won't address, but it's one of my concerns, and it's been discussed by the board, not just by myself. And it's something that maybe we could have some input from legal on with regard to liability, given that, you know, there's some holes in you know, coverage holes at Fort Ellis, you know, the 5-mile issue.
Oh yeah, there's a lot.
So there's a lot of holes, and so. You know, if we enter into an interlocal agreement and there gets to be concern in that area, you know, especially in light of restrictions and, you know, outright, you know, no coverage from insurance companies,
Yeah. You know, if there gets to be more noise from their constituents about coverage there, you know, what's our exposure in that regard?
Right. I'll ask them.
That's the pay your quarter, take your chances clause.
It is, but yeah, I want to make sure that that's
in that. But we need to be protected from a lawsuit or something that.
And maybe state statute covers us in that, but I'd like to entertain, you know, input from council on that.
Yep.
We're all shooting in the dark, given that we're not lawyers.
Yeah, we don't want to inherit liability.
Right, exactly. And nothing's riskless, but at least nothing that is obvious, that we're entering into an agreement that there's obvious exposure associated with it.
What could possibly go wrong on I-90 at the China Wall in the middle of winter?
Yeah, exactly.
Should be pretty simple, right?
Yeah. 5 miles up the trail.
Should be pretty simple.
On a hot August day. What can happen?
Or Trail Creek on a hot August day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And their board did ask for more money per residence, or?
Correct.
And they're still waiting to see?
I think it's all done. It just has to go through. Okay. So they should be able to raise their service fee. They're just waiting for that to happen.
At the county?
At the county level.
And is the financing, is it all contingent on financing? The way they're financing, they're going to actually issue a bond, it sounds like, of some sort, right?
They are working towards getting a bond.
Right. And so, in my understanding is, in their situation, it doesn't require a vote?
Correct.
By the constituents?
That's my understanding of fire service area.
So all of this will be...
There just has to be 25 or 40% or something to object.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
40% to object.
Yeah.
But there's no vote.
Again, all of that should be outside. As long as they supply sufficient funds to meet their contractual arrangement with us, financing of their building and so on, should be independent of any of that.
Should all be independent of us and be all in out of their budget, managed by their board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are the things, if we can get some of those points ironed out and the liability part, you know, addressed by council.
Yep.
And maybe have a short presentation or a write-up or something from Susan. Correct. I know our time's limited, but at least an executive summary, providing some opinion there.
I think that's very doable. So I'll bring that up to Brian.
Okay. Any other comment? Okay.
No, it can't possibly be the way Ray went down, is it?
I mean, that's kind of what we did. It was two separate departments, and we ran as one. All the firefighters themselves thought we were one, but we had two separate boards, and one paid the other. And
how long did that go on for?
A few years. Yeah.
Almost a decade,
years, right? I think
it was a decade.
Yeah. Was there a date that it dissolved the other board? Or?
Yeah, when we consolidated. At consolidation, and we actually had to get legislation passed at the state legislature to allow for the consolidation of a fire service area in a fire district. Yeah. Code already allowed for consolidation of two districts, but we had to get code, and we had a couple of legislators that carried that for us and got it approved. And so once that was done, then we were able to pursue consolidation, which resulted in Highlight.
Well, I'm glad you guys have already done this.
Yep. Yep, we have a Ray Fire Service Area and Sourdough Fire District. And
I think, as Walt has pointed out, what worked, I mean, it's analogous what we're talking about with Fort Ellis, but what worked really well between Sourdough and Ray is the valuations came out so close at the end of the day.
Right.
And so, you know, this financial wall that we're constructing here in the legal documents, which I think is really important, is even more important because of the disparities that we've got going that way.
Right.
And just making sure, like, our constituents can read those documents and understand, okay, we're not liable for facilities, rolling stock, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's really important.
Right. And show, and I think, you know, demonstrate that we're not going to have a potential impact on millage related to an agreement like this. You know, I think that's really important. I think the next step, of course, is consolidation. You know, if we consider that past the interlocal agreement, you know, then it's a whole different consideration there with regard to millage calculation based on those disparate property values, the total taxable valuation. Yeah, that's going to be a little bit trickier trickier situation to resolve.
That's going to be a different situation.
That's a different situation.
I think at last meeting about the courting phase versus the marriage.
Exactly.
So if we start courting, we're going to understand a little bit more about it and then just see how that operation, they mesh together.
Right.
But operationally, Ken, the last interlocal was seamless. I mean, it was just, it was so one department.
Like, will this, everything be administered from here?
Administered?
This will be the administrative offices for both districts?
I don't know.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
Because our fire chief would be fire chief over there. Our management will be the management there.
Yeah, all the management will be located here.
Yeah.
Yep, and working out of here just because they don't have space at all. So I think it'll all be managed here. We may have to play operationally where we stage on big winter days. But that's a whole different piece of it, right? Just for the command piece of when we're running a 5 a.m. high menu.
And you guys have actually already started engaging a little bit in terms of discussions with firefighters at Fort Ellis.
We have not. Brian's been working on that,
and
he's just trying to get his foot in the door. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a timing issue, but no other, just to go over there and have a discussion with their firefighters to make sure that there's no grievances there about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they have a lot of questions about, you know, what we're going to do and how.
Black turnouts.
So have you guys war gamed out if there is, you know, if you get some attrition beyond normal rate of attrition as related to, how does that play out in terms of our resources?
Yeah, that's going to get interesting. I can't tell you what the answer is to that without having that discussion about what they want to do, or if the firefighters are willing to step up so that we can move them beyond where they are to the next level, right? Like that's, there's a growth process that's gonna have to happen slowly over time to bring them up to where they need to be, and I just don't know where they're all going.
And you guys need to know that all their volunteers wanna stay. Because if
we got to know that, right? Before we take over and they all walk out the door and we're stuck with an entire fire district with no volunteers.
Exactly.
Right? That's part of that discussion that Brian needs to have, and he's been working on trying to.
Well, we may end up in the service delivery decision part about this to say, if you don't, this is the standard that we accept for standard and adequate fire protection, firefighter health and safety, fitness, all that sort of stuff. To say there is maybe a point where that becomes a defensive holding station. There's opportunities there. It's not an interior firefighting organization at that time until Engine 6 rolls up.
And we have a pretty good assumption that not everyone's going to move into being a frontline firefighter like these guys are doing. They have some folks that are probably not going to want to do that. And they aren't doing that now necessarily. They're driver operators. They're doing different things for them. So we know that we're not bringing on, whatever, they have 34 firefighters. We know we're not bringing on 34 firefighters.
Right.
We'd like to bring on 34 people.
Yeah.
But we know we're not going to get 34 firefighters.
Can we manage that different levels of service delivery organizationally and training and
yes.
politics?
Yeah. Service delivery is easy. Training is easy. Politics, I think, is very doable.
That's why we date before we get married.
Mm-hmm. Any other comment? Any public comment? All right. Ray Fire Station.
We're still there.
Okay.
So we're...
haven't heard anything back?
We have not heard anything on the refund plans.
Okay.
So we're just waiting on that. I would assume we're going to see them in April. On just a little bit of that refinement stuff, but we have a pretty good idea of where we're at square footage wise, general cost, a pretty good idea. But we're looking for some refinement on the overall plans, which, like I said, should be here in the next. I would expect them mid-April.
Nice. Okay. Firefighter Association report.
Well, not happy launch for y'all tonight. We had a successful meeting last night. We had directors here, and then we had a couple other volunteers join us for our meeting. The biggest thing that we've been up to, and Kate will pass out some logo designs. So one of our fire building captain, Jackson, his sister, who lives in Colorado, she designed these logos for us. And so right now, we're working on getting some t-shirts and sweatshirts designed for the volunteers. And we plan to not only give those to the volunteers, but also make them available to the public to buy as a fundraiser for the association. So we talked about that last night. And then we are starting to think about the Wildland Barbecue and the pancake breakfast and that, all that comes with planning and putting on those two events. Anna French and Steve Nash have been working hard to try to start building a peer support team within the department. And I don't know if you want to come up and talk a little bit about what you and Steve have been up to.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. They've been going around the county just talking to people and trying to find the best options.
She gave a good intro to it, but yeah, we met with some people at the sheriff's office. We met with Riff, who is the head of SAR, and got some ideas for kind of how they run peer support at their organizations and what could work well for Highlight. And yeah, Steve and I are kind of just working on sort of drafting a proposal to then present to the assistant fire chief and the fire chief and see kind of what that will look like for Highlight. But sounds like we might have some opportunity for some somewhat local critical incident stress management trainings that should be free for us to attend, so we can get some people trained in like a formal setting, just to kind of have our program a little more formalized. But that's kind of where that all stands right now.
Nice.
Thanks.
And then yeah, I had a good conversation with Nikolai about how exactly we're going to spend our funds, and we don't have it quite lined out yet just because we're still super new, but we have a good idea of how the process is going to look if the association wants to purchase something or has something that the volunteers think the department should look into, and just that process of going about that. And then we also have been working with Sky Federal Credit Union, and we've gotten all of our bank accounts set up, as well as like an accounting software. So we're kind of just like putting all the pieces together to be like a working board and a working association. So it's coming together. So.
Oh, nice. Good job, you guys.
Great, thanks.
Thank you guys very much.
Fire chief's report.
All right, 52 incidents in the month of February, which is actually up over the last couple of years. February's been a fairly slow month for us typically, but this month we stayed pretty steady. We still have 37 members. We're continuing to work on our overnight command coverage shortages. That's kind of an ongoing piece of it. We got to quit doing such a good job in training because they're getting hired out from under us pretty quickly. So that seems to be...
Build a wall.
I'm with you. Like I just told JJ, but we just had another one, firefighter get a job with Big Sky Fire as their fire inspector. He's been a guy that's been around for a long time. But because he's not operational in Big Sky, he's planning on sticking around here and volunteering here. And he lives just outside the district. So, and he's been here for 6-7 years. And he's a command officer, does good work, and we've tried to do everything we can to keep him around. But we have had a lot of people get hired out from under us, which has been a struggle with just that command process. We've kept the chutes full, going into crew leader positions, lieutenant positions, captain positions, and then they go away. You can't go away. Just saying. We currently have 8 resident firefighters living at the Sourdough Fire Station. We're down to 1 at Cottonwood. All those guys got hired out from under us, which was good for them. Right now we're just backfilling those nights because they are very important. Backfilling those nights with some of the sourdough folks are helping out. Anna French is helping out quite a bit. Tuscan's over there all by himself pretty much all the time. So in our academy, in our current academy that starts tomorrow, we've got 5 interested in being residents, which will actually help boost this starting in about June. When they get that far into the academy, they'll start moving into the stations, and that'll help boost us back up to being almost full again. We currently have 3 residents at the Ray House, but we're losing Pemberton the end of this month. He is from Colorado. He's had a summer job in Colorado. He's going back to that summer job, and then he's going to probably stay down there and get a career job, I would imagine, with the department that he's been working at seasonally for the last couple seasons. So we'll have 2 people out of there running 3 nights a week, which really helps offset the Cottonwood piece. So that's been good. Continue our day staffing. That's working out well. Continue our multi-company training. We've been working on blitz fire attacks, 2.5 hose line attacks, just big water on big fire. Big water on big fire. Garage fires are the big ones, right? To get those knocked out real quick and then save the rest of the water for trying to either protect exposures or get that all mopped up and put out. So that's been going super well the last few weeks. We're working through extrication training as our springtime training. So he's been going over to Best Rate or to the county pit and doing lots of extrication on the weekends, which has been awesome for everybody. We got 12 people through Instructor C, which is really about how to be a coach, right? How to coach. We use those people, we build those people to really help us either at Wednesday night trainings or during driver operator trainings, just so that they can actually understand kind of what we want out of them as coaches. So 12 people through that, so we're working on now just refining their skills, and that's been going really, really well. 8 people in the academy, like I said, that starts tomorrow. I've met a few of them, and we've got what looks to be another good group of people coming in. So Reed's been killing it in the recruitment end. Awesome. 8 of them. He had 30 some odd come through the door. 32 through the door, 24 came to the informational meeting. And we had a solid 12 that we could have took if we had the manpower to do that. But we're at 8, which is good. And that's, yeah. Very nice. What else here? Chief was at a TEKS class for Advanced Unified Command back in February. Reed and I went to Las Vegas to do more of a executive officer stuff in Wildland, and it was very, very interesting. It was quick 2 days in and out, so it was very easy to get in and out of. It was super good. It was fun, but it was just very, very informative. And the Western Fire Chiefs put that on, and I thought they did a great job. There was a lot of good information that came out of that for me specifically, but it was well worth our time. We're still in discussions about county EMS, and so we're making some headway there. I think the chief talked about it last month, but all of a sudden looks like the county is willing to maybe put a board together so that we can start moving forward on really drafting out ideas and what that's going to look like. So that's actually a really good thing, and I think that's very beneficial to Highlight as a whole if we can get in on that and get some of that cost offset. Plus, it'll give these guys the opportunity to run a few more calls around just the neighboring districts. I would say the county, but just the neighboring districts is going to be really good. And we've been able to pioneer the fact that we're really the only BLS ambulance service that's doing it fire-based, and these guys have been killing it, literally doing a great job. So it's been awesome.
Careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
Closest available.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, right? With the plan is to say closest available, but it's also, I mean, what we can support right now is BLS. So we could end up on the south side of Bozeman a little more frequently if they're busy. So we'll see where that goes. But we're still working that out. Chief's still on the board of directors with the state fire chiefs. He's still on the state chiefs of wildland committee. He's the vice president of the fire council. I am overseeing training for the fire council, and also got voluntold to take over the SOP committee by my boss for the county. So I will be working on some more operating procedures for the county and just cleaning some of that stuff up. He's also still a deputy fire warden. Transport plan's going good. Billing's going actually pretty well, pretty smooth for the most part. No injuries in February. Prado found an issue with the water service to the Ray Fire Station. And this was back when it was like, you know, 0 degrees and snowing a foot every day. It's kind of when Ray water got a hold of us. And so Ray right now is currently working to see if there's no leaks off of the property. And so they're kind of working on that now that the grounds, if you go over there, especially like King Arthur, there's like little holes everywhere where they're digging and looking for this potential leak. But they're pretty sure that it's actually on property. So we're working right now and getting an estimate on what's going to cost to track that down and fix
it. Off their main or the service to?
They think it might actually, now that they've been doing some digging, it might actually be the service to
to the building. Mm-hmm.
Yep, which that's what we're afraid of. But
so that's on our side then?
It's on our side. Yeah. So we're working on that. So the house has great water. It's on a well, right? But the fire station right now has very limited water. We still have water going there. It's just at like 25 PSI. So enough to flush a toilet, and that's about it. So no washing trucks or doing anything like that right now until we get some further information.
So pre-meter, they're not able to determine it with meter, pre-meter then?
Correct. So
it's before the meter?
They think it's before the meter.
Because if it's before the meter, it's their liability.
We'll see. Yeah, if it is before the meter, you're absolutely right. Yes, right. But
anything from their previous construction job that we gave them the easement for?
They've been really good to work with us based on the fact that we did give them easement and all that stuff. Yeah. So
I just wonder if something was messed up when they did that easement.
I don't think so, because everything was fine. We had that cold snap, and just one day it went bad. And the pressure dropped, and it started getting weird. Okay. So, I mean, they've had that easement and haven't been really using that easement.
Okay.
Especially in the winter when all the
nobody was driving on it when it was cold. Yeah, that's what I would wonder, if it was driven on when it was cold.
I don't see how that could be possible.
But we don't have a $5,000 water bill or anything.
No.
So it's all pre-meter.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
We're hoping. I mean, we don't use a lot of water, but it's not just free flowing.
Well, that's good.
So,
how's the 911 center performing these days?
They're doing well. They're doing better. They're actually got their staffing up, right? They're flirting around the 20 people mark, which is actually way better, because they've been sticking around, you know, 12 to 15 for a long, long time. So they keep bumping up and right around that 20-person mark. They've been really interactive and good to work with as far as trying to be proactive on things. So can't say that there's been any problems. They just continually struggle to get people through the door. Seems to be an ongoing thing, but they are doing better, for sure. And the gentleman that actually runs the 911 center also runs County GIS, and that's improved dramatically. Mm-hmm. So I would anticipate this summer updating all of our wildland pre-plans will be a very doable thing, because GIS is rocking and rolling. So, and we've already had some conversations with them about doing that. They're very interested in taking that on, because she's been in place now for 9 months, 12 months. She's been able to catch up with kind of the backlog, get some people in there that are consistent and catch up with the backlog. So they're excited about taking on some new projects. So
nice.
So going back to the ambulance transportation, I was looking at the revenues. It looks like we're actually surpassing expectations on revenue then, right?
Why do you think that? we're doing well.
I mean, we budgeted for 40. We're, you know,
We're quite a bit above that.
We're staying above it, right? Just my projections when we started this, if we go back and look at my projections, I thought we'd be a little bit ahead of where we are now. Not, we're not too far behind of what I projected, but also came in here not knowing much, mm-hmm. right? And so within a few months, I had to make those projections based on previous data. So we're doing okay. I wish it would grow just a tiny bit more, but we're doing great. As far as financials, we're doing well. Mm-hmm. We're covering our costs.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, that we're covering, more than covering our costs.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, which would meet that expectation that Steve White put on us at the right. beginning right. of this thing, right?
The Steve White meetings.
Right.
Is a lunch with Steve on anybody's agenda?
A lunch with Steve?
White.
No.
JJ, you want to take that on? Bring this budget to his attention?
I sold him a car a week or month ago or something, and he asked me how it was going, and you know, it was just kind of, everything's great, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well.
You let him know that we're doing well.
Yeah.
In that regard.
We had a good conversation. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
As far as transport goes, it's been, it has exceeded my expectation of what these guys have been able to do. We are kind of the poster child for when our medical director goes around and speaks about BLS ambulances and what people can actually do with fire-based EMS. He talks about what Highlight's doing constantly. These guys make really good decisions in the field about bypassing ALS and just going to the hospital because they're 2-3 minutes out. Like, they've just been doing, I cannot tell you how well they've been doing.
Well, no, I mean, it's good. It's a good argument.
Good job,
good
guys.
Evidence to support something that happened in the county too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's just super good evidence, you know, that type of performance.
Yeah, these guys can do it easily, yeah. and actually bring our performance level up to where we were, from where we were,
yeah.
with the current
yeah.
ambulance service, like,
yeah.
hands down.
Yeah, and it's outrageous. Yeah, there's value to the constituents in the
huge,
county.
Huge.
System like that county-wide.
Yeah, and Dr. Beer's basically been out spreading that word, mm-hmm. and I'm sure as we get this board together and we start talking, he'll continue to mm-hmm. to just look at the evidence of what we've been able to do. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys, because it's helped me.
Yes.
Not a bad idea, just following up on JJ's observation, going to coffee with Steve White or lunch or something. Just giving him an update.
I just took the note that Steve isn't interested in me selling this going good. He's going to be interested in the numbers. And so I think that I'll buy coffee and take Chris with me.
Top call the numbers.
Well, I mean, he raised a legitimate point.
Yeah.
I'm not disregarding it.
No.
Yeah,
I think
it's a legitimate, exactly. Yeah, it's a legitimate concern.
Agree.
Yeah.
And he's a longtime resident and political leader in our community, and it's a nice courtesy to follow back up with him.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah. I'd be more than happy to do that.
See you next week sometime, maybe.
Sounds great. Let me know. Water Tender 6 is still out of service. We hope to have that back in service by the end of the month. You guys have all seen pictures, hopefully, of our two new engines pumping water and moving water today. They went through them yesterday, pretty much bumper to bumper, found a few minor things that just needed to be moved or wasn't quite to spec. Very like switches and a few converter boxes that were kind of put in the wrong spot. But other than that, that'll be easy fixes. They went out and drove them today, pumped them today. I haven't had a report back from them today, but based on the pictures they sent me, it's moving a lot of water.
So did you guys send those in email? Or something?
I think they put them on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook.
But I can email them to you if you'd like. But the goal is that they finished up today. Hopefully everything went well today. They'll be in for those minor tweaks and repairs tomorrow, and they'll hit the road Thursday morning and be here Friday at some point.
And they're driving them.
They're driving them. And Prado leaves Wisconsin tomorrow night, flies to Las Vegas to do the final on our Pierce Saber.
Nice.
Which, that's still about a week or so out from getting on the low boy, but a little bit of a break in between will be great.
Remind me, do you have plans for to move the old tenders out, or what's the rotation on those?
So, engine 6.2 and engine 6.3, so the old twins, will both go away as soon as we get the new twins in service. So once they get in service, once they get their final inspection, because you got to have a final from the factory once they get here, once that happens, which Prado's got lined up, I think, next week, they will come and get those two old twins and take those away. And then as soon as they deliver the Saber from Las Vegas, they will load up engine 6 and take that away. So we're going to be a little limited on space. The weather doesn't look like it's quite going to cooperate next week, but that's okay. We've got them all inside, and we've got it all figured out. So hopefully the build time, Prado's done a ton of work in the last probably 4 to 6 weeks just prepping everything and getting everything laid out and ready to roll. And he's got a lot of stuff stacked over at Ray Station, and we're just going to roll one in and
load them up.
Put together. Yeah, he's got some stuff to put together, radios to do, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
He'll get that stuff in, we'll get stuff mounted, and it'll go in service.
Could you email us the pictures since I don't do Facebook?
We'll email you.
That'd be great.
Yep. We can do that.
Do the new trucks come with radios, or do those have to go to?
They came all pre-wired, so yeah. It's really plug and play.
Okay.
And they all have lights, sirens, all that stuff. So
nice.
It's pretty much a plug and play kind of deal.
Nice.
So were logos applied there, or does that have to occur here?
What's that?
Oh, the logos, all the labeling, the highlight.
That's a great question. So the two brand new ones are all getting labeled and striped, so they'll be ready to rock and roll. I think all the striping is getting put on in Vegas. I think we got to do our logos as soon as they get back. Prado's already got that arranged, and he's just been playing phone tag to try to.
And then it's going to automatically go to the next
lined
one.
Up for us. As soon as it gets here, we can.
It's going to go to the next one.
Get out there.
Yeah.
Once he goes down there on Thursday, you should have a much better idea of delivery time and date. Awesome.
We're an improvement to our fleet.
We're rocking and rolling.
But they already have logos.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Questions for me?
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Those are cool. Except those new trucks.
Yeah, we're going to go with
this. I lost.
Bring us back, Jason. Justin.
There you go. Just don't touch anything.
Yeah, don't touch anything. I was just swiping away at those emails.
Yeah. Sweet.
That's awesome.
Trustee,
it's a really nice upgrade to the fleet.
That's a huge upgrade.
Yeah.
Say that again.
It's trustee.
It's amazing those twins that we're getting rid of right now.
We're
going to
go
23 years
with
old.
Frank Boyne.
What's 24?
So,
23.
We have coffee.
Been around
at our station. He just wants to visit.
I mean, they were a big deal when they got to the county.
What else?
Oh. Yeah.
Frank Corner, yeah, Bay Fire Council.
It's going to be quite the upgrade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mac Scott, Mac Prado, Templeton put a ton of work into the training. Right, one of the biggest pushes we had was like by updating the entire fleet, we could decrease the level of training, right? Because they're all going to be the same. They put a pile of work into it over the winter. They've got it dialed and made even improvements to it, and so it's going to be really, really good. Have any of you guys? You've done some of the training. You've done some of the training already. So, how do you like it?
Oh, it's so much better. Yeah, the improvement is crazy.
Nice.
It flows way better. It'll be way more consistent in the way like all the volunteers get trained.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll be a huge difference.
Yeah, the human dimension of those old trucks was not as much of a thought factor as it should have been probably when we designed those.
At the time, I don't think it was as important.
Yeah.
Because you had a bunch of people that could run machinery.
Yeah.
Right? And now we just don't have that option anymore.
Right.
So pushing play is a little more of a, more of a thing.
More of a thing, yeah.
Yeah. Back in the day, it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
Levers and knobs are what people knew.
Had more farmers out running.
That's right. Wow.
Okay. Well, good
awesome.
Job. Thank you.
Really nice.
Any other trustee activities?
I handed out the objective portion that JJ is going to bounce off of everyone. So if you want to take a look at that. If you have any questions during our annual meeting, we can go ahead and make that a new version of our governance policy.
Thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm. I suppose the other activity that we should probably consider here pretty quick is preliminary.
I'll stop it with fine.
We usually, next week is when I expect to see the information from the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have to, yeah, we'll need to set up a meeting.
To think about timing, yeah. That.
We'll present that at the May meeting as well.
Actually make a decision on preliminary May meeting.
Correct.
Right, so we have to get together as a
yes.
Committee. So I'll be gone off and on a little bit in April. I haven't committed to farming, but I've got...
But it's in your blood.
It's in my blood. That we are going, that is retirement parties. We're going to be gone for about a 10-day trip or so.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're starting the 20th of April. And going to be gone a little bit, weather dependent in April, so we'll have to think about it here pretty soon. You know, there'll be a short window to get it done before. So we didn't want to get it done before the May meeting for approval.
Yeah, we need to have it to the county usually around May 24th to 26th, somewhere in that area. So it should be easy because we've spent a lot of money this year.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of money.
Well, we don't have any of those.
I'm asking
capital.
For a lot more. Just so you guys know.
Yeah. Well, we don't have those capital allocation issues that are carrying over from one year to another that make things a little bit more complex.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that'll make our capital budget a little bit easier. At this point, we don't really have any significant surprises in terms of major adjustments for operating expenses at this juncture, right?
Operating, we're pretty good. PPE keeps going up. Inflation's killing us on PPE. Mm-hmm. So if that's going to be a little bit of a bump, it's nothing.
And I suppose the only other significant adjustment, if we end up entering into an interlocal, I don't know, do we see that probably not occurring? It's not likely that that'll occur until this fall.
I don't think it's going to happen anywhere before
this
fall.
Yeah. So it'll be after final budget, so it won't be a consideration for budgeting this year.
Yeah, well, last meeting they talked that we want to be able to start being able to get paid until January 15th or something, right?
Yeah.
Something like so that, I believe, is the first time they could.
Yeah, so that shouldn't have an influence on our budgeting bottom line, right? Yeah, so first part of April, if it worked for everybody's schedule for...
As soon as I get the documents from the county, shoot you an email and we'll set up a meeting.
Yeah, but we could even go through kind of a line item for operating expenses though prior to getting that information though, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah, so we could do something along those, mm-hmm. Have a preliminary meeting for the people to think about that.
Okay, next meeting.
I'm out the 15th.
Tax day.
Tax day.
Yeah, that's pretty
going apropos. Into hiding.
Do you want to let you know too, the survey results for Brian's evaluation, I'll have those to you next week as well.
I'm out of town on the 15th.
Okay.
If there's a quorum for the 22nd or something, that would, but I won't be here.
I can do the 22nd.
Me too.
I'll be here on the 22nd.
That's Earth Day.
Damn. I'm going to go litter that day then.
I'm fine with that date.
22nd?
I don't have any issues.
22nd it is.
All those in favor?
You guys good? Ken?
Good.
All right, let's do the 22nd.
22nd? Okay.
Okay. All right, meeting's adjourned. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.